Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, thanking you for our country, how you have blessed us 249 years in an area of freedom. Father, we thank you that you, by the Holy Spirit, have given us this land to be able to move about and to create kingdom culture. It is spread out through all the world. Even yesterday, with 2 million people gathering together to worship in India, blessings all over this world. But Father, thank you that you have created this land so that we could be used by God to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We remember that. We are led by the Holy Spirit in remembering, with all the difficulties of the enemy, all the confusion, all the deception, in Jesus' name, we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank you for the men and the women that have served and have protected that freedom for all these years. Thank you, Lord, that there are families today that can receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit, even though in the protection of this land, their loved ones were lost. And we are thankful. We are grateful. Thank you for the faithfulness of men and women, boys and girls in this country that serve well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. I love the land that I live in, the United States of America. We're beginning a new series today, and I want to just go back a little bit of our last series of being free. And an understanding of discipleship and deliverance and healing and the emotional healing, all the things that we covered in our last series, what I want to do in this series is take you on a greater journey of the biblical principles and the truths that the cross, that what Jesus did in making you and me free spiritually. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the parable of the lost and the found. We touched last series, 3 series ago, we touched on the prodigal son. But what we're going to do is we're going to dig a little bit deeper. We're going to find out a little bit more about this story. We're going to add some of the family members into our teaching so that we can grasp a hold of, once you are delivered, once you have made the right choice to become born again, we've learned about grace, we've learned about all these things, but once you do this, now, what is the process? What is the next journey? How do you walk? How do you think? All the areas, how God created us, how he created us to think, how he created us to live, who's in charge, all the above. We're going to grab a hold of these truths throughout this series in quite a few weeks that we are going to cover this. So again, today we are talking about the prodigal son. But I thought these were funny. It says, you know you're old when you're entering your birth year online and have to spin that thing like you're on The Price is Right. And speaking of something else, did you know that men laughing at your own mistakes can lengthen your life? But while laughing at your wife's mistakes can shorten your life. Lord, bless today. Although the prodigal was indulgent and far from home, you must understand in your journey, as well as the prodigal son, he remained a son. In your spiritual walk, when you journey and you do make mistakes and you do sin and you do walk away in areas of your life, you're still a son according to Scripture. The power of grace is immense. Now, it's possible for every believer to lack restraint in areas of their life. Matter of fact, I'm going to say that there's not one person in this house or watching online that there's not an area that you lack restraint in your life. Now, what that does, lacking of restraint, it produces internal battles in your life. And the internal battle is something we've talked about before, but again, because we've gone through the process, God is really speaking to us. And he's taking us on a real intimate journey in Scripture. And so I want you to understand the battle is between your soul and your spirit. And it is there. Have we talked about that before? Yes. In all the years I've been here, we've talked about almost every subject in the Bible. But the reality is now that we have been delivered, understand the power, the spiritual power of grace, and we're delivered and we're being discipled and we're growing and we're getting in the Word of God, we need to understand how God created us and how all this works. How he set it apart for all this to work. So let me show you today how to be weaned off self-sufficiency. Let me show you today that we are to submit to our spirit, submitting to the Holy Spirit, but submitting to our spirit, and developing a taste for the Word of God. A taste for the Word of God. In other words, it is a lifestyle. It is something that you miss, like missing In-N-Out burgers, that you literally think about it, some of us, every day. So again, in our last series, I Am Free, we talked on the parable of the lost son, or we actually touched on it, but we're going to dig deeper. We'll use the same passage that we used in our last series in Luke 15. So the Lord continues to show us things about this parable, and I want to tell you, it's absolutely amazing where we're going to go with this. What I'm going to show you, what I'm going to teach, if you are here and you're listening to it and begin to let it just sink into your heart, to your mind, to your thinking, it's going to transform things in your life that before you struggle. I'm not really talking about deliverance because we have been delivered, but how do you walk after you're delivered? How do you take the discipleship that you are doing now? How do you take Scripture? A lot of people, they read the Scripture and they say, I don't get it, because they don't know how God created them. And so we're going to go through all of this. All of us, again, can be a prodigal in our journey with God, even if it's for a short time and not a lengthy time. So I want you to recognize that this battle is there for all of us, me included. So in that season, how do you handle it? How do you go through the process? So the title is called today, The Believer's Battle. Those who've confessed Jesus Christ, their house has been cleaned, you're filling it with the Word of God, but because of the way God set kingdom realities and how God created you, there are things that we need to understand, things that we need to recognize to be able to live out this life. And when these things, I'll say it, prodigalness, not a word, but prodigalness seems to want to crawl on us, that we want to go back to the same stuff before, that we can recognize it because we know what's in charge. In Luke 15, verse 11, it says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons." Notice there are two sons. "And the younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." Notice, he divided to them. There's an older son, a younger son. The older son got two-thirds, and the younger son got a third. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Now remember, the word prodigal, the meaning in one word literally is dissolutely. Let me tell you what that means. A Webster dictionary says, "A person lacking restraint, marked by indulgence in things such as a drink or promiscuous sex or many different aspects of our walk in life." And so we understand that this young man struggled with these things. But I want to focus on a person lacking restraint, not the sin. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. So what I want to do in this series, I don't want to focus on sin, even though we'll talk about it, we'll touch on it, but I want to focus on our action in life that is a lack of restraint, of being allowed to do whatever we feel or think. So if all of us are honest, maybe there's one or two or maybe even three areas of your life that right now, today, you lack restraint. Don't look at me that way. We all do. We have it. It's there. So there are things that we battle as believers, and the things that we battle is because we are created in three parts. Remember that teaching? Spirit, soul, and body. So here's a scripture that I want to read to you that shows all three so that you know I'm not just blowing hot air here. Okay, by the way, I'm patriotic too. I'm wearing blue and white, and my bloodshot red eyes are red. So I'm patriotic too. My wife's got those beautiful blue eyes. But there are things that we battle because we are created in three parts. In Genesis 2:7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground," which refers to the body, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life," that refers to your spirit, "and man became a living soul." Body, spirit, and soul in one verse. So again, why am I going to focus on this? First of all, because the Holy Spirit said so. But because there's sometimes things that we have such a passion to serve God, but because we don't understand these things that we're going to talk about, we get deceived or we get confused in our walk with God. What's right? What's wrong? Why do I feel this way? How come God's not answering my prayer? How come this isn't happening for me? And this person is not as good as me, and they're getting this. And how come all the... In other words, we start delving into ourselves or really become self-absorbed in what's going on in our life. And when we do that, remember last series, we then begin to step into a deception and absolutely slavery to things in our life. So why focus on this? Is God created our spirits to relate to Him. God created our bodies to relate to His creation. And God created our souls to relate to Him and His creation. All right? Body, relate to the creation. Spirit, relate to him. And then our soul, relate to him and creation. So that there's a fullness. There's an ability to enjoy life. There's an ability, when we understand this, to be able to live in such joy, even though things aren't perfect. Because we understand these truths. So remember, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So God wants you to relate to him with your mind and emotions too. He wants you to relate and enjoy creation with your mind and emotions. So in other words, depression is not of God. In other words, these hurts that bring us in a place of non-caring, that's not of God. And it happens not because we're bad people, not because we're living in sin. It happens because we don't understand how we're created, and in the deliverance, being born again, and the ability to walk in kingdom realities, we don't understand how it works. We don't understand how the machine works. And so when we understand that, then what we're going to do is we're going to be able to see the things that maybe we lack restraint, and we're going to be able to overcome that because of knowledge and wisdom in the Word of God, because God's given us in the grace power to overcome ourselves. But here's the problem. When Adam and Eve sinned, their spirits died. Their bodies, souls, mind, emotions didn't die, but their spirits died. That's why Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 8, but we're just not going to read the whole thing. But we were dead before we accepted Christ in trespasses and sins. So when you were born, you were dead. You were actually born into this world with a spirit that is dead, that is not active. So your spirit does not come alive until you accept Christ. So follow the reality. All this is introduction for this whole series. Really grasp this truth, what I'm about to say. For years, you learn how to relate to God only through your soul, mind, will, and emotions. You related to God only by how you understood who God was, or understand who God is. You related to God only by that, through your mind, through how you feel about the situation, whether the situation was fair or not, whether you were in a good place or not, and what you desired to do, what you felt like you wanted to do. You learned to live life. You based all your decisions of what it was based on your feelings and desires. God never intended for you to live that way. He never intended that, family. He never intended me to live by my emotions. He never intended for me to live by what people said to me, how people hurt me, or I'm going to protect myself and self-sufficiency. He never created me to live that way. Because when Adam and Eve were created, spirit, soul, and body, and they functioned perfectly. And what we need to understand is how to get back to that perfectness, even though we're in this world, but not of it. All right, so let's continue. God intended you to live where your spirit always was in charge. Because why? Your spirit was created to relate to God. The problem is, because of being born in sin, our souls were in charge. That is the believer's battle. So to win, we must know things about the soul, and that's what we're going to do in this series. We're going to keep going back to this. Yes, through the years, we have taught on parts of this, But let's go deeper now, okay? Let's just go deeper with me. Listen to this 2, 3, 4 times so that you get what is being said. Not what Pastor Gary is saying, but what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because we are in the beginning stage, my opinion, of the great move of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking. God is moving. You heard the prophecy that Sister Mila gave. God is moving in such a mighty way, and I don't want anybody in this house or listening online to miss any of it. Amen? To be led by the Spirit. All right, so let's talk about this. And first of all, regarding the soul is very selfish. I put in my notes, the soul is selfish, but I felt God saying, really say it stronger. The soul is very selfish. The soul's motto is, I'm number one. Live for number one. Watch out for number one. Again, remember, the soul is made up of three things, your mind, your will, and your emotions. The soul is only what we can think, what we can reason, only what we feel is right, and only what we desire. That's your soul. Let me say it again. The soul is only what we can think, what we can reason, only what we feel is right, and only what we desire. You hear it all the time, people. I got my rights. This is what I think. And that's the soul speaking. So look at your mind. The mind, literally, God created the mind, and it's really phenomenal. You might not think this because your grades weren't as good, but your mind is better than any computer you could ever own. Your mind has logged everything you have done, everything you ever said. Oops. And everything that ever has been said or done to you, everything you've seen or experienced, your mind has it all recorded. Now you're thinking, where's all that information? I can't remember. It's called the subconscious. Have you ever said this? Oh. The name's on the tip of my tongue. 3 hours later, oh, it's Rebecca. My point, it's in your subconscious, and you're trying to bring it to your conscience. But you have to understand, it's there. Matter of fact, your mind, science books will tell us, in a millisecond, searches through all the files and assesses every situation that you're in. Let me just say it this way. When a situation arises, if you're living by your soul, mind, will, and emotions, whatever happens in your life, your mind, your emotion goes immediately, millisecond, of all your experiences, and then that millisecond, if you live by your soul, will tell you how to react or act based on your experiences, what you've learned from the bad and good. And that's why you've asked questions to yourself, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I said that, because in that millisecond, all the hurts, all the stuff, all the good things have come. And that battle is there. If your spirit is not in charge, this is where we're going, then what you're going to do is you're going to react or talk out what you have experienced in your computer or your brain. So that's why many people struggle, because they lack restraint in their soul. There's nothing restraining their soul. So they act out what's going on. So all that comes from the soul. So this is important to understand. you assess several situations that are similar to what you are facing at that moment, where before you felt insecurity. And so in the midst of that today, you're walking in insecurity. And in that security, in that moment of the day, fear arises. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's the battle. That's where we're at. And we're going to learn how to change that, how to, and I can use the term, how to counteract that, all right? But your spirit, watch this, all that came from your soul, but your spirit says, lay your life down, turn the other cheek, but your soul says, protect number one. Why am I really detailing this? Because we need to go back to the I Am Free series. That's how a stronghold begins. Why are we talking about this in a deeper way? Because this is absolutely every one of your battles. Every battle you will ever face, this manifests. Your brain categorizes things. And your walk in life experiences things that remind you of lust, bitterness, anger, etc. This is why every strong believer can fall into this lack of restraint. And according to the story we're going to read about, they will end up in a pig pen when they were living in a mansion. Because we have a stronghold, which is in our soul. So, you also must know your spirit is saved when you accepted Christ, when you confess Him as Lord and Savior. So here's what many Christians do not understand, or I can say, this is the problem. This is my problem. This is your problem. They don't understand the finished work of grace in their spirit. They also don't understand the progressive work of grace in their soul. Those are terms you're going to hear again. But we have to recognize the only reason you and I lose a battle is because there's a problem in our soul. Because it is born selfish. Rebellion is born in the heart of a child, but it's the rod of correction that drives it far from them. It is a life of the spirit. That's why the soul needs to be converted. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be transformed. People struggle with the understanding of the scripture, the saving of the soul. Well, saving of the soul, I'm already saved. I'm born again. Pastor said I'm born again if I confess. And we get all crazy on this, so we're going to show you this. We're going to just bring it in simplistic manners, and we're going to understand this. Now, why am I doing this? Again, let me just remind you. God is looking at you right now, and He's saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to pour out on you, your children, and your children's children. I'm just asking you to realign spirit, soul, and body. I'm asking you to rise up. And in faith, you're faith people. You're in the Word. Many of you have gone to OSL. And all these things, discipleship is there. You've been delivered. You've been healed. Miracles have taken place. But God is saying, now, I want this to be a, did you hear it earlier today? A lifestyle of prosperity. A lifestyle that even though at times you're going to face this junk, but you will win. Boy, there's so much here. I have to rush here. So let's keep going. Hebrews 10:39 says, But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. This has nothing to do with your eternal destination. The word saving is a Greek word sozo. It means making whole. Your spirit has been made whole. That's the work of grace. So if you think you have to earn your way to heaven, I am very sorry you think that, because you're going to live a life of struggle. You're going to live a life of bitterness and criticism because you don't understand that your spirit is brand new, perfect. Because we're talking about spirit, soul, and body in the battle. Here's my second point. The soul must submit to the spirit. In Romans 9:12, it talks about Jacob and Esau. It said to her, look at that, verse 12. It said to her, Rebekah, the older shall serve the younger. Remember that years ago when I taught on this? God uses this as a principle in Scripture. The older shall serve the younger. So what we're thinking is, I'm the youngest in my family, so I can go to my older brother and tell him, you serve me. No, it's not talking about that. So you were born, and at 20 years old, you accepted Christ. So the question, for 20 years, who was in charge? Your soul was in charge. Then you get born again, or literally from the Greek, born from above, born spiritually, born of the Spirit, and your spirit comes alive. This is what Ephesians 2 talks about. Your spirit was dead in trespasses and sin, and he made us alive. That's your spirit. So here's the situation. Your soul is in charge for 20 years. Your spirit, after 20 years, comes alive because you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The question is, which one is older, the soul or the spirit? It's the soul. The question, which one would be the younger, the soul or the spirit? Your spirit. So what does the Bible say in Romans 9:12? The older shall serve the younger. Your soul shall serve your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. And if your soul comes under submission to your spirit, that God that relates to God and God talks to your spirit, then what happens is, you begin to align yourself with kingdom realities. You begin to see when lack of restraint is there. So, oh, nope, 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 stop. Like a good mom with a young child. Stop. And you begin to change. And you don't lack restraint in that area anymore because your spirit is in charge. So the soul needs to serve the spirit or have submission to the spirit or comes under a mission. That's what the dirty word submission means. A lot of people don't like hearing that word. Come under a mission. You come together, you come under a mission. So all the soul, the thinking, the emotions, everything, you come under the mission of the spirit, and the spirit says, I'm a child of God, born of God. My sins have been removed. I'm going to heaven one day because I confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Grace, the power of grace works in me. And even though right now I've been hurt, I won't respond to that hurt. I will walk in faith. And God, you will help me to make a transformation in that area. And no longer those things will rule me, but I will have God rule me because my spirit's in charge. Amen. Ooh, this is good stuff, folks. So here's the battle. You get saved and your spirit says to your soul, okay, soul, I'm in charge now. So here's what your soul does. Because your soul is so sweet and kind and compassionate and humble. And he says, okay, spirit, you just tell me what to do and I'll do everything you tell me what to do. No! It doesn't. Your soul says, not without a fight, dude. You and me, come on. That's the believer's battle. That's the fight. So are you going to respond the way your soul wants to go, the way your mind, your emotions tells you to respond regarding the hurts and the wrongs and all that download of everything that happened in your life? Or are you going to respond the way that Jesus would respond in that situation? Or, simply said, what does the Word say? What does Scripture say? What does the Bible say? So, how do you do that? Next few weeks, you have to feed your spirit, and your spirit's got to grow up and take charge. Your spirit's got to say, okay, wait a minute, nope, nope. You're feeding your spirit. That's why you're journaling. See, a lot of people, when they teach about discipleship, they think discipleship is only for the soulish part because the spirit's perfect. Your spirit has to grow. Your spirit needs to mature in the action of kingdom realities. Yes, born again, cannot sin. All the things Scripture says, we'll cover that. But you got to understand, you got to mature in that area. You have to become, here's the terminology, become spiritually mature. And when you become spiritually mature, then your soul, hey, we all got this. I have in my brain downloads, 2 years old, my brother took my sucker. No one's ever going to do that again. All right, all that download, and that's why, at times, even in my own mind, I can catch myself, not because of the sucker, but other things in life, a little bit bigger than that. But it rises up. What do I have to do? I have to, by my spirit, say, no, Scripture says this. You will not respond that way. Amen. But see, people say, well, yeah, I know, but God help me. He gave you grace, the power of grace to do all this. But this is how it works. Psalm 131 tells us how David talks about this battle. Psalm 131, verse 2, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. So he's telling us what he did to his soul. So the only way you can calm your soul and quiet your soul is to wean your soul from being in charge. How do you wean a child? You're taking him off milk and put him on solid foods, right? 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Hebrews 5:12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Bottom line, he's saying, you're living by your soul. You're living by your emotions. That's what he's saying there. So the key is weaning the soul. What happens when you wean a child? Throws a fit, doesn't he? Anybody here ever thrown a fit? Anybody here cry? Same thing will happen with your soul. He's going to throw a fit and he's going to cry. It's not fair. This is hard. But see, the Spirit is communicating with God, and God says, hey, I got this thing covered. You do this now. Yeah, it looks hard. Yeah, you feel it. But I see here. I see your future. You do this, soul, and react this way or act this way. I see you here in the blessings of God. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is just going to overwhelm you, and you're going to be blessed going out and coming in. That's what Scripture talks about. I mean, it is so amazing, this truth. But see, we're all created this way. We all have the same ability to succeed in every avenue that God's called us to walk in. So our soul will throw a fit. And he'll probably say, "This is killing me." Well, here's my third point. The soul must die. Now, meaning die to self. Your selfish thoughts need to die. Scripture says, "I am crucified with Christ." This theology, we need to die to self and rise up in Christ in this spiritual maturity and walk. Hebrews 4:12 is a very famous verse. To truly understand verse 12, you must understand verse 13. So let's quickly go over this. Verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division." The question is, the division of what? The division is of the soul and spirit. Bottom line, what you think and what God thinks. Let me say it again. Soul and spirit. What soul? What you think? Spirit, what God thinks. Verse 12 continued. "And of joint and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts of the heart." Later on in the series, we'll talk about that more. But many don't connect verse 13 to verse 12. "And there," verse 13, "and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." So real quickly, let me give you a little word lesson here. The word sword, it speaks of the word of God. The word open is Greek trachelitos. Trachelitos is translated trachea. Trachea is the meaning of the windpipe. So what it's saying here, the trachea, windpipe, the throat, or litos, where the whole word goes bad. All right? The whole word goes bad here because it means to bend back the neck of a victim to be slain. Or to expose the gullet of a person in order to kill him. So it's basically verse 12 and 13 is saying is that you got to kill the power of your soul. Let me say it another way. You got to kill the authority of the soul and let the spirit have the authority so that when the soul feels and the soul thinks, it will think in the authority of the word of God and will succeed in everything that he does or she does. That is exactly what God is doing today in our world. And praise God, our nation, because we are a godly nation. So God's plan for your soul is that the word of God saying, "Gary, trachelitos," is how you respond to your soul. You put the word at it, and it cuts it off. So many don't let the sword or the word divide. And that's what it's saying, to divide it, to kill what is creating a problem in you. Jesus said this in Matthew 16. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Same principle. It's talking about the spiritual walk. And that when your soul says, "What about me?" Cut it. Stop it. But But Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. No, I don't. And I bet what you've gone through was tragic. But here's what I'm saying to you. You want to overcome that? Let your spirit be in control of that hurt and that emotion. Rise up and be the man, the woman that God's called you to be. Whew. I'm telling you what, and we're just giving you the introduction here. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." So what do? You trachelitos every day. Because I know me, I need to do that every day. Because I see the evil of this world. I see the difficulty of this world. And I don't like what some people do. And I want to trachelitos them. If that's how you pronounce the word, that's all right. I wasn't an English major. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That doesn't mean he gets saved every day for his eternity. It means Paul crucified himself every day, meaning the soul. I don't want to be a prodigal. And I do lack restraint at times. I do. And I'm supposed to be a pastor. But I live this life like you. I've been created in the image of God just like you. I struggle in areas just like you. I mess up just like you. But one thing I know, how I will overcome. And every one of you, no matter where you've come from, no matter what has happened in your past, you shall overcome when you live the way God created you to live. And that grace will empower you, but you got to flip the switch every day. Flip the switch. Let's all stand. Oh, hallelujah. All that barbecue wore you out, didn't it? Amen. I get to go home to some more of it. Amen. I'm not done yet celebrating this wonderful holiday. Just a reminder to you, because of the holiday weekend, we will not have our evening service. But Identity is having a special event, so talk to the leaders. If you did not know about that, I'm sure you do. But just enjoy this last part of the weekend with your family. Just really understand God is doing something very amazing in our country. Keep praying for our country. Keep praying for our leadership. Keep binding the enemy and loosing the power of the Holy Spirit. All over the world, the Holy Spirit is moving. And I promise you, if you will hang with me, I will teach you how to have yourself and your family, your children, your grandchildren to be totally ready for all the Holy Spirit will give in these next decades. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim health. I proclaim wealth. Father, I proclaim protection and an immense revelation of your word to this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.